As Forrest Gump didn't quite say, birding is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but it's certain to be sweet. Before I set out on Debbie Shearwater's Monterey Bay and Half Moon Bay pelagic trips, I was certain I was going to get at least a few lifers, birds I'd never seen in my life before, and several new birds for my conservation big year list. But I had no idea what we would see. Usually the most abundant bird on Pacific pelagics is the sooty shearwater, which can number well into the thousands seen on a single trip. But Debbie said that in the 38 years she's been guiding trips out there, on one trip they didn't see a single one. So as with all birding, there are no guarantees. Everyone's mindset was on the most wonderful possibilities, so much so that one professional guide even called out a Pacific loon that on closer inspection was a cormorant. That's how it goes in pelagic birding, and no one minds because everyone realizes that it's better to call out a South Polar skua that turns into a Pomerane Jaeger than to wait several seconds for a more certain identification, in which time everyone might miss their one chance at that skua. As we set out, it was fun picking through the many western gulls for the daintier Heerman's gulls. The Beach Boys famously disapproved of both species since they wished they all could be California gulls, but there were enough of that one too. Seabirds can be exceptionally tiny, like the red-necked phalaropes we saw spinning about even in the deepest waters, or huge, like the black-footed albatrosses that occasionally followed the boat a ways, giving me lovely looks and photo ops of this yearned-for lifer. On both trips, we mostly saw sooty shearwaters at first as we got into deeper water. This is an extremely abundant species that I've seen from a fishing boat off the coast of Oregon in 1979 and from a whale-watching boat from Long Beach last fall. But it was good to study this all-dark, medium-sized species in the air and on the water so I could quickly pick out any outliers. Friday we had a handful of pink-footed shearwaters, which are larger than sooties and have a whitish underside. By Monday, having studied both those species well at all angles, it was much easier to pick out Buller's shearwaters with their subtle but noticeable upper wing pattern and whiter underside all the way up to their throat, giving their face a bicolored appearance. When a flesh-footed shearwater passed by, I forgot what to look for, but easily picked out the all-dark bird, huger than a sooty shearwater, just before it flew beyond the distance of conjecture. The one Manx shearwater that showed up on that same Half Moon Bay trip was equally elusive, but by keying in on the outlier, I got a quick look at this tiny guy, even spotting the tiny white crescent behind the ear feathers. I got a momentary look at a single ashy storm petrel in Monterey Bay, but leisurely looks at thousands of them on the Half Moon Bay trip. Again, taking time to study them is how I picked out the outliers, the noticeably larger black storm petrel, the white-rumped Wilson storm petrel, and the soft gray fork-tailed storm petrel. During lulls in activity, there were always one or two birds in view, and I tried to stay focused on them. Even though I'm inexperienced at seabirds, this focus allowed me to pick out new things more easily. There were quite a few common mirrors in the water throughout much of both trips. I checked out every one of them, making it easier to pick out the rhinoceros auklet seen on both trips, and a Cassin's auklet, a pigeon guillemot, several Scripps murrelets, and a few tufted puffins on the Half Moon Bay trip. Pomerane Jaegers were seen on both trips, one long-tailed Jaeger raced by the boat on the Monterey trip, and two South Polar skuas appeared and lingered for a few seconds on the Half Moon Bay trip. Debbie Shearwater said that the number of birds and the species composition changes dramatically from season to season and often from week to week or day to day, so she can't say one destination is better than another. Pelagic trips are fairly expensive because the expenses of chartering boats are so high, but boy, oh boy, I had two of the funnest days of my life on these, and sure hope I can get out on Debbie's boats again someday. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.